Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guests today are Onondaga Nation Faith Keeper, Orrin Lyons, and Greg Tripoli, the Executive Director of the Onondaga Historical Association. They're with me today to discuss the Great Law of Peace Center, which opened last year at the former site of the St. Marie Among the Iroquois on Onondaga Lake. They've each been on the program in previous years, but this time they joined me together. Greg, Orrin, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Thanks for having us.
Now, before we talk about the new center, I do want to talk a little bit about what it replaced, the St. Marie Among the Iroquois. And, Greg, from the perspective of the stories that are told to this community about its past, can you speak to the significance of this change?
Well, it looks at a much bigger picture. The St. Marie Among the Iroquois, as it was, told a story that was a very, very short story, perhaps of less than 2 years in our history. And there's a much larger story around that, and that's what we are telling at the Scano Great Law of Peace Center, not just a small two-year piece of our history, but a much, much larger piece that has a much more important influence in our American way of life.
And Orrin, what was the view of the Onondaga Nation and the Haudenosaunee toward that former center and the way that it told its story? My understanding is there's some controversy about that.
Well, it's not a controversy. It's a negative.
Okay.
Of course, the landfall of Christopher Columbus brought Christianity here. That's what came here, and that's what was being carried by Father Lemoyne and all of those people here. And it was a mission. And it challenged our beliefs and it challenged our understandings of life and so forth. So it didn't last long because it was intrusive and they removed it very quickly. However, it is indicative of how far-reaching and how old this discussion has been going on here in this part of the country.
And Greg, tell me a little bit about when and how the discussions of this new kind of center, the new one, took hold. What was that process like?
The county approached OHA about repurposing the center and bringing it back to life. It had been closed and asked me if we could come up with a plan. And I immediately thought of the great story of our Native American heritage, which isn't really told anywhere here from the perspective of Native American. For too long, white people have been interpreting Native American heritage and their history and their values. And I thought, on the shores of sacred Onondaga Lake, what better place to the Haudenosaunee to tell their history and their values in the authentic voice from the spiritual and political perspective, capital of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, Onondaga Territory, which is where we are. And so that was the plan that we came up with. Of course, it created required a collaborative. So it wasn't something that OHA could do on our own.
And I don't know if you've been to this museum, but down in Washington, it's still relatively new. But the Museum of the American Indian is the exact title.
Smithsonian, yes.
And it's part of the Smithsonian, and it seems to have explicitly the idea that each nation will tell its own story in its way in the space, in the museum. I mean, I've seen the Haudenosaunee area there, the museum. Did you look at that as some kind of model?
Or? Well, we actually looked at that as a kind of a model of what not to do.
Oh, okay.
In a sense. The Smithsonian had some issues when it first opened that it wasn't accurately and appropriately representing the perspective of Native American. And they have, to their credit, come a long way since then. They understood. They listened to the criticisms. And they have, after many millions of dollars, done a revamp of the facility, starting with a tremendous exhibit that's there still currently, called Nation to Nation. And I think that and Orrin can certainly speak to this better than I, but I think that that is a change at the Smithsonian that the Native American community has welcomed and has embraced. And so we look at that now as you know, kind of confirmation of how we approached the Scano Center. And it's a great exhibit. I encourage people to go down and check it out.
I must have seen the revamped version when I was there. Oren, did this seem like the discussions about this center, the Great Law of Peace Center, did it seem like a new kind of partnership, something that was more refreshing perhaps than what you'd experienced before?
I'd say very refreshing, actually. I'm a history professor. I taught American history at the University of Buffalo for 38 years. And what I found out was that the American public has no idea about Native history in this country. They don't know. They simply don't know. And this center that has come up is now representing some of the true history. The story is just now beginning to be told, actually. So the real history of this nation has to be told to better prepare yourself for what's coming. And it's a collaborative effort by humanity to maintain ourselves as a species. And so we need the foundational principles of life and respect. And they're right here at the lake. The lake has a name. It's an old name. It wasn't Onondaga. It was where the willows touch the water. Mm. That's the original name of this lake. And so it's been called Onondaga because this is our this is where we live, and this is the beginning of the Great Tree of Peace, which is, again, the whole discussion about democracy, real democracy. Did not come over on the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. There were kings and queens coming on that ship. And the results of kings and queens. And so the free people and freedom as a process was here, and where partnership between men and women were equal then and still are in our process. So all of that is now coming to a head, and I think that Greg has done a great job in picking up that line and pushing it forward. And actually, Central New York is standing up. They're starting to tell this story. So it's a very important, for the welfare of this United States to understand what the real history is with the Native people. So.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Onondaga Nation faith keeper Oren Lyons and Onondaga Historical Association Executive Director Greg Tripoli. Greg, let me pick up on exactly what Oren was saying there at the end and ask you, were there controversies here locally in this issue of the collaboration?
Oh, my gosh.
How you were going to tell the story that you had to wrestle with? I'm guessing you may have been in the middle of some of them.
I think that one of the unique features of the Scano Great Law of Peace Center is the collaboration that came together to create it. You know, the Great Law of Peace is about five warring nations coming together in peace. And we lived a little bit of that in the making of the Scano Center, I'd have to say. But, you know, you have a county government which owns the facility. The differences between Native American and U.S. government entities and county government in particular are well known. You have a traditional historical association. We're a collecting organization. We had in our collection for over 100 years items of cultural patrimony and sacred items, including human remains, that is typical of many collecting organizations and museums. You have an academic collaborative that came together under the direction of Dr. Phil Arnold from Syracuse University. These are academic institutions that have operated principally under a Eurocentric academic model for many years. These are organizations that had long-standing issues, and I think that it's a tribute to them that all of us came together to create this center and to collaborate and to reach consensus on the story, the narrative, which is driven by the Onondaga Nation and certainly by Oren, who is very involved in developing the narrative in the center. And I appreciate what Oren says is a tremendous compliment. But really, OHA kind of just stayed out of the the development of the narrative, and we let it's authentic voice from the Haudenosaunee.
And Oren, tell us, if you can, relatively briefly. I know it's a very long story, but you know, what is the Great Law of Peace?
The Great Law of Peace is a pattern, if you would. It's a process that was given to us 1,000 years ago by a spiritual being. Came to us complete, instructive, and accepted from five warring nations. Laid down their weapons of war, actually buried them under the Great Tree of Peace. And we've advocated that position ever since, and we still do today. And I think the need for peace, world peace, is fundamentally more important today than it's ever been. And I think we're at a crux where that will be answered one way or the other. So coming all together, I think that people have to understand the importance of partnership between men and women, foundational in government. There was several years ago, President Obama made a statement at the UN when he said that the United States was the first constituted democratic government in the world. And I said, not so fast, not so fast. Because I don't think you could say that you were a democratic government until the women voted, which is in 1920. So, I mean, it's so ubiquitous that you don't see it. You know, the male domination is so ubiquitous. And that's our problem today. If you look about and see what world leaders are making the most noise, there they are.
And Grant, Oren touched on something there that I think your listeners might like to know, and that is the phrase "bury the hatchet." The colloquialism was originated with the Great Law of Peace on the shores of Onondaga Lake. So, it kind of encompasses the whole concept, you know, burying the hatchet.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Oren Lyons, the faith keeper of the Onondaga Nation, and Greg Tripoli, the executive director of the Onondaga Historical Association. And we've been discussing the Great Law of Peace Center. So, Oren, what will visitors find when they come to the center?
Well, they'll find a very up-to-date presentation of our history, which is very important, and also to remind everybody that this is really fundamentally the birthplace of American democracy as we know it, and that the Onondaga Lake and the surrounding nations and the surrounding people here have rededicated ourselves, I think, to this issue. And I would like to see more direct activity between the university and the center. In other words, I want to see some buses coming down. And that is going to be part of the curriculum of Syracuse University, to visit that as part of the, at least the freshmen, and probably we'll go on further to the people who want to study more closely. It's going to be a source, a very strong resource for real education.
And Greg, what do you hope visitors will take away from the experience?
Well, it's an oral history facility, so it's unique in that it pays tribute to oral history as a valid documentary form. The oral history, the history of the Haudenosaunee is told as an oral history. And so you get, the Haudenosaunee leaders and elders telling you their history through film, the way that it's been handed down. I also, people will learn the concept of Scano and peace, about the creation story of the Haudenosaunee, about their reverence for the environment and their Thanksgiving address and how they give thanks for that daily. They'll also learn about the contributions that the Haudenosaunee have made to our American way of life, both in terms of its influence on our founding fathers with respect to the formation of our democracy and our constitution, to agricultural, to influence on women's rights, to the sport of lacrosse. So I think that it will open a lot of eyes, and also obviously the issue of doctrine of discovery and contact between Native Americans and Europeans, which was devastating.
Well, I want to follow up on exactly that point, because just this past May, the St. Marie site reopened. It reopened under the aegis of the Great Law of Peace Center. So tell me a little bit about that, because that gets at exactly the point, Greg, that you just made. I mean, How does that get navigated and negotiated?
Well, I think for the first time, people will see the actual words of a 15th century pope, the leader of the quote-unquote civilized world, on a wall where he makes it the duty, the Christian duty of explorers from that time to claim lands that were uninhabited by Christian rulers. So any native inhabitants that were there, they were instructed to enslave and vanquish and to take their property and their possessions and to claim their land. You know, the Native Americans believe that we belong to the land. The European concept is the land belongs to us. And those two perspectives right there give you an idea of the sort of culture clash that ensued when Europeans came here, when they were on a land grab, unbeknownst to Native Americans who never had that concept.
And Oren, tell me about your sense of the center now, the being the place for the St. Marie site.
I don't think I could put it more succinctly than Greg has just said. I think it's precisely the issue. And I think looking forward, which we always have to do, that there's great instruction here. And the instruction, of course, is to work together collectively. It's the word collective. It's the word that for the commons, you know, for a capitalist state, when you say collective or you say the commons, they get all up in the air, you know, and they say. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, one of the presidential runners this year, Bernie Sanders, was speaking to that issue. And fundamentally, when you get back down to it, this nation has to learn and relearn the issue of how to share.
Mm. If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guests are Oren Lyons and Greg Tripoli. The center overlooks Onondaga Lake. And Oren, you've already spoken to this. The lake is sacred to the Onondaga Nation. So how do you view where we currently are on the lake and its cleanup?
Well, it's the lake has to be cleaned better. You know, we've had a company, Honeywell, work on it, and it's already failed twice. It's failed already. It isn't even 3 years. So obviously it's not prepared well enough. It has to be done better. But it is, I think it is an icon in terms of the condition of the world today. I mean, here we have the birthplace of democracy, and you also have the most contaminated lake in probably at one point in the whole world, certainly in the United States. And so the dichotomy, I think, is illustrative of where we are as a species today.
Greg, you wanted to jump in on that, it looked like.
I'd just like to say that I think, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot to be grateful for as far as the change in the momentum. I think that we're moving in the right direction. I can only do what we can control, and we're thrilled to have a small part in bringing at least the story of the great law of peace back to that lake, to let people know why that lake is so important to our community, to our history, to our Native American community, why it's sacred, and why it is important to do what we can to clean it up. I leave the actual cleanup to the scientists and the experts and folks like that. But I do say that I'm an optimist, and I like to say that at least we're pointed in the right direction, I think.
And with the few minutes we have left, I want to ask each of you a question that is really on a different topic for each of you. But, Greg, start with you. What else is going on at the Historical Association that you got coming up that you want people to know about?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we have a great collaboration with the Hotel Syracuse where we're providing all of the art and doing the retail for the facility and highlighting the great history of that. We are also in the process of developing a new museum, the Brewseum, a museum on our brewing history that will be part of a large brewery and tasting room and a restaurant in Franklin Square. And
I'm feeling that'll be popular.
Yeah, I think so. And we're also, of course, restoring, working with a collaborative group to restore the Gustav Stickley House in Syracuse, the first arts and crafts interior in the United States, the home of the father of the arts and crafts movement, which we will be developing as a house museum boutique hotel.
And Oren, I have to ask you recently spoke at Muhammad Ali's funeral. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
Well, it was a great opportunity to honor a person whose whole mission was peace, even though in order to present that mission, he had to battle probably some of the fiercest battles that you see between two people, epic. But in the same sense, the same man was a man of peace. And we, of course, as our whole Confederation is based on peace. And so it was an honor and it was a privilege to add our voice to the many, many voices around the world that supported him. And I think that the importance of where things come from can't be underestimated. And I think that the Onondaga Lake, the focus of Onondaga Lake now is going to get more and more intense as we move harder into these public discussions on world peace.
And tell me a little bit also about the association between Muhammad Ali and Native peoples, because we think of him as an advocate for peace and a protester of the Vietnam War. But tell us about that particular association.
Well, you know, he said he took a stand on Vietnam. And I had asked my one of my leaders, Chief Paulus the Elder, and I said, you know, what's going on over there? And he said, don't you know? I said, well, you know, it's confusing. This was 1961, and when it was just ramping, and he said, they got no business there. He says, they're doing to them what they did to us. Mm. And that explained the whole thing right there. So we knew right off the bat, and exactly, and Muhammad Ali, you know, didn't have that background, but he said, spoke the same sentence. And so I think that we all paid a price for that decision, and we're paying price right now for other decisions. And I think we have to talk more about peace and harmony rather than empire.
Is there one thing from going to that funeral that you think will stick with you?
Yes, I think it was the different nationalities and the different people from all over the world who were there in one common cause, and that to me spoke to the mission that Muhammad Ali was on. He completed that mission. I mean, the mission was obvious when everybody was there, and so the feeling of goodwill and peace and an effort to move forward in a common cause now for world peace, that was clear and evident, and I was pleased to be there with our leaders.
That was Orrin Lyons and Greg Tripoli. Orrin, Greg, thanks so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's always fun.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.